Գումտրեք SPS հայերենը։ Հավելյալ հետաքրքրական հաղորդումներ կգտնեք վերկայքին վրա sps.com.au/armenian.
Armenian National Committee of Australia's Executive Director Hai Kayserian just returned from New Zealand, where he participated at ANC New Zealand's Advocacy Week. Hai, welcome to SBS Armenian.
Thank you, Vi. Good to be with you.
Hai, the main topic of the interview is the recent activities of ANCA, but it looks like we can't escape the coronavirus pandemic. ANCA issued an announcement about COVID-19. So for people who didn't have the chance to read, what was ANCA's message to the community?
Yes, look, thank you, Vi. First of all, there's not much we can do. I think we have to understand that these are unprecedented times, at least in our lifetime. Most of us who are gracing this earth haven't seen this sort of a pandemic strike before. So that results in uncertain times. I mean, the experts of this pandemic will actually emerge from this crisis. They're not here yet. However, of course, there are medical professionals. There is a government in Australia that is receiving and passing on advice. And what the Armenian National Committee of Australia's responsibility always is to make sure that we act as a responsible liaison between our community and the government. Therefore, the advice that is being provided by the government in this case, we are looking to pass on to our community and interpret it for our community's benefit, for their reading. So our announcement was essentially a translation, a summary of what the government's key announcements are in terms of how to look after their health and when to see the doctor and when to attend or not attend events, activities, work, when to hold events and not hold events, because the government has given certain advice on all of these. And then there were also, through consultation with our community's leading organisations, we've been able to establish a bit of a working pattern to be able to effectively communicate some of that information to our community and also how to assist our community. I think during times like this, we need to make sure that the information continues to flow, and that's the responsibility that we've taken upon ourselves as the Armenian National Committee. And I think the rest of the community and all the organisations within the community have taken upon themselves to be there for the rest of the community. I think that's important as well. We've got to be there for each other at times like this. So essentially, a couple of the major points that we would like to pass on to our community through opportunities like this is, number one, to follow all of the government guidelines that you're hearing, things like, you know, regular hand washing, sneezing into your elbow. If you're feeling sick, stay home. Even for minor issues, you might as well see the doctor, but obviously trying not to panic. And I know that sometimes that might seem a little bit confusing, giving those two pieces of advice, but that's what we're being told. Secondly, we don't have any information to this point that any Armenian Australian has been infected with coronavirus. And we've given our email address, which is admin@anc.org.au, to find out if anyone has been infected for us to keep tabs with them and our community organisations to have that information to keep tabs with that family. Because the Armenian Cultural Centre in Willoughby, Sydney, for example, and I'm sure this is now going to be replicated in other cultural centres and clubs around the country, Armenian clubs, they're trying to stock up on essential supplies, things like medicine, things like some, you know, very essential needs that people might have if they are quarantined and, you know, told to stay in their house because they're infected. And, for example, in the case of the Armenian Cultural Centre in Willoughby, the Armenian Youth Federation, the youth have already committed to doing deliveries to people's homes if they need some essential supplies from the Cultural Centre. And the idea is just sort of be there for them. And that email address, admin@anc.org.au, is essentially to communicate with us, and then we'll pass that on to different organisations within the community, whatever, you know, applies to whomever. And the Armenia Online Facebook page is going to be releasing all event notices, because a bunch of events will be cancelled because the government has said that at least the events that have over 500 people need to be cancelled for the next 2 weeks, and then possibly that will be extended. And the Armenia Online Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/ArmeniaOnline, will freely publish all those cancellations from around the community. So if it's an event, if it's an activity, dance practice, Saturday school, everyday school, etc., all of those notices will go up on that Facebook page. So once again, it's www.facebook.com/ArmeniaOnline. And on our Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/ANC Australia, www.facebook.com/ANC Australia, we will continue to pass on any new government announcements that are relevant to our community. And we will try to do that always like we did with our first announcement in both English and Armenian. What we ask from our community is to connect to those pages. As long as they're connecting to those pages, they will be informed. And as long as they have contact with us, they will have assistance. They won't be left behind in any way. So that's essentially what our announcement is, and we're watching things very closely. My wish, Bahe, is for everybody to, you know, stay safe, heed the advice, look after each other, and hopefully we get through this thing.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Hayk. Have you made a decision yet about the Armenian Genocide commemoration?
Look, we haven't, but there's obviously very serious discussions going on there. I believe that because, you know, yesterday there was an announcement by the RSL that Anzac Day is cancelled in New South Wales, Tasmania and WA, for example. And I'm assuming that might be, you know, replicated in the other states of the country as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I was personally waiting for before advancing those discussions at our end, because obviously there's a close proximity between Anzac Day and the Armenian Genocide commemoration. But now that that determination has been made by the RSL, that's another piece of context that will add to our discussions. There won't be any such thing as a, you know, as a cancellation of April 24 commemoration. It would just be a format change. There will still be a way to commemorate it, but whether that will be in person, whether that will be in other ways, these are the discussions that are going on. So it's easy to just say something is off. But what we want to do as a community, we've got time ahead of us, is hopefully over the next week or so, make an announcement as to how we see the commemorations going this year.
Hayk, you just returned from New Zealand. I think you're lucky you just beat the deadline of self-isolation.
We did. I think we returned, and then 2 days later, my colleague Sarin sent me a notice to say that we would have had to self. Actually, in both instances, we just missed it. So yeah, I'm glad about that. And everybody on our trip, because there's about 5-6 people from here, they all feel well. So I'm happy about that so far.
So ANC New Zealand has its Advocacy Week in March.
Yes, and it was a special opportunity for the Armenian National Committee of New Zealand. As we know, it's only been around for less than 2 years. And during that time, there's been some great strides made. And our goal during this Advocacy Week was to advance on those strides. We were invited as the Armenian National Committee of Australia, let's say the older cousin, across the ditch of our New Zealand colleagues. And what occurred were obviously a lot of meetings, which I won't go into every single meeting, but around those meetings, there were two events, and one was in Auckland, which is, let's say, the Armenian epicenter of New Zealand. I know that it's a very small community in New Zealand, but Auckland does have the largest Armenian New Zealander community. So at the University of Auckland over there, the Europe Institute of the University hosted a lecture evening featuring Dr. Panayoti Diamandi from the Australian Institute for Holocaust and Genocide Studies, and Dr. Maria Armudian, who is a politics lecturer at that university, at the University of Auckland, originally from California, but a New Zealand resident now. And they co-lectured on New Zealand's, what they considered the problematic relationship with Turkey, and covered some unbelievable content. It was a lecture theatre that seated about, say, somewhere around, I don't know, 50 to 100, and it was full, so that was positive. And there were some very engaging question and answers, etc. So it was important to cover the genocide in that context, in the New Zealand context. And Panayoti is one of those, like Vikem Babkenyan, Peter Stanley, and a lot of others who've covered the Anzac, Australian and New Zealand relief efforts, the Anzac link, etc., to the Armenian genocide, and to present that to a largely non-Armenian audience, I thought was the ANC being true to its core. And at that event, because it was in Auckland, there were a good number of our grassroots community members, and we were able to engage with them. And we've made a promise to organise something else later in the year in Auckland to meet more members of our community. And then the following day, we were in Wellington in the nation's capital, and in the parliament over there, we had the very special, humbling opportunity to be joined by Serge Sankyan, probably the most prominent Armenian musician in the world. I don't know of many Armenian musicians who've sold 40 million records, won Grammy Awards, etc. So the lead singer of System of a Down happens to be a New Zealand resident. He fell in love with the country when touring there early in the 2000s, bought a property, spends a couple of months a year there, sometimes, you know, a quarter of the year there, with his young family, his fluent Armenian-speaking son and his wife. And we managed to arrange for him to be our special guest of honour at this event that we held in the Parliament House in New Zealand.
So New Zealand's foreign minister tried to intervene and disrupt ANC New Zealand's organised event?
Yeah, it was interesting that there was a report from the media that the New Zealand foreign minister, Winston Peters, was actually trying, through a letter or a memo that he sent to members of parliament, particularly government MPs, he basically told them, when you're considering attending this event that you have been invited to by the Armenian National Committee of New Zealand, and it's about the genocide, etc., maybe you should reconsider it, basically based on the fact that this is our government position and it's a long-standing position. And basically he went on to call the genocide a tragedy, and that Armenia and Turkey should be the only two parties that talk about this and resolve the matter. Now, that was leaked to the media by, obviously, one of the MPs that received it, because he obviously didn't appreciate a foreign dictatorship determining which events he can and he can't attend. And therefore, this became a pretty big deal. Winston Peters, while we were in Parliament having meetings, Winston Peters was being chased around by the media, being asked about his position on the Armenian genocide and whether he's trying to gag parliamentarians from attending this event. And the primetime news coverage that evening featured this almost wrestling match style coverage of, you know, this very popular rock star versus Winston. And so Winston Peters was giving his view on this by just sort of giving a very cold denial that he is trying to stop people from attending the event, whereas Serge Tankian on the other end was being interviewed, and he was saying, you know, why it's important that, you know, people are able to hear all sides of these sorts of stories and stand on the side of truth and justice at the end of the day. And he also made a speech that night, obviously, at our event, where he talked about his own story and how his grandfather, all of his grandparents were survivors of the genocide, but particularly in the case of one of his grandfathers, he had made a promise before he passed that he's going to do everything he can to bring justice to this issue. And recognition is one of those ways. And that's why he was, you know, taking some of this time from New Zealand to advocate on the issue. It was very powerful, not only the fact that Serge and his profile helped us get into the media, but also, despite this gag order, we did have MPs attend that event. And on top of MPs attending, the attendance was pretty large. I mean, we've held an event or two there before. This is by far the largest attendance. There were people from the Russian ambassador to New Zealand, the Polish embassy, Danish embassy, several countries and their diplomatic representatives there. There were NGOs such as the UN Association of New Zealand, UNICEF, Human Rights Watch, a lot of academics from the major universities based in Wellington. There were members of leaders of the Greek, Assyrian and Armenian communities over there. So, I mean, to have that sort of attendance in the parliament, despite a gag order of Erdogan's gag order, let's call it, being implemented by the foreign minister of the country, I think was a very true result, very encouraging result. for the ANC of New Zealand, and it showed that at the end of the day, regardless of what anybody tries, the Armenian cause will never be silenced. And thanks to Serge Tankian, I believe the Armenian cause in New Zealand was louder than it has ever been during ANC and Z Advocacy Week 2020.
I mean, as usual, attempts of denial and cover-up usually has the opposite effect.
Correct. That's a really accurate way to put it.
So you're pleased with the New Zealand Advocacy Week results?
I am. I think we had some very encouraging meetings. We met with members of the governing Labour Party. We met with the Greens co-leader and a couple of other members of the Green Party over there, because the Green Party has a party position recognising the Armenian Genocide in New Zealand. We also met with the opposition National Party, a couple of their MPs. So those meetings were very encouraging. We also met with the bureaucracy. We met with the MFAT, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Trade and Defence, I believe it's called over there. So the ANC of New Zealand also organised a meeting there where Dr. Panayoti was able to attend as well. So I think from the point of view of the meetings, the advocacy, the media coverage, the social media sort of expansiveness by having a Serge Tankian who has 2 million followers on Facebook and several million over Twitter and Instagram, and he was live streaming his speech, etc., to sort of just imagine the tentacles that all of that provides, I think it was definitely the most successful day of advocacy, of Armenian advocacy, that New Zealand's ever seen.
The issue of reluctance from New Zealand government, is it similar to the Australian government's position? Are there similarities?
There are similarities between New Zealand's and Australia's position, but I believe that New Zealand's one, while it isn't as offensive as Australia's one, because it actually does refer to the fact that Armenians were killed by the Ottoman Empire, and while they believe it was a tragedy, they think that it should be what it's going to be called needs to be discussed between the two countries. So it does acknowledge that there's an elephant in the room there. It just doesn't take its own position on it. It doesn't deny the genocide. Australia's position under Julie Bishop obviously went to a new sort of level where she said in a letter once that Australia doesn't believe these events constitute a genocide, where Australia was sort of acting, as a judge and jury on behalf of the Turkish regime in taking a denialist position on this issue. So I believe New Zealand's position is less offensive, but I don't think that's by design. I think it's just that it's an older position that has never been updated. And part of the reason it's never been updated is because, we think of these departments and governments, etc., that they've sort of got hundreds of people working on every single issue. It doesn't work that way. If we don't apply pressure on government to change something, then there is no incentive for them to dedicate resources to investigate and to make changes. And this is why the work of Armenian national committees around the world is so important, because wherever you don't apply pressure, things don't change. So I believe that New Zealand's position, just like the foreign minister said, and 2 years ago Jacinda Ardern said when she was questioned about it, it's a long-standing position. Now, we agree it is a long-standing position, but that's not justification of the position. You can't just say it is our position because it's long-standing. What we need to do is revise long-standing positions when they are wrong. And in this case, it's wrong. So I think New Zealand, I wouldn't say, has been tested enough on this issue yet, because our community is smaller and our lobby is new. But it is definitely going to be tested on it henceforth. Let's just take into account that in 2017, there was no ANC in New Zealand. In 2018, August, Jacinda Ardern, during a press conference, was asked about the position of her government on the Armenian genocide in public on television. And in 2020, in March, Winston Peters, the foreign minister, and who is also the deputy prime minister of the country, was chased around Parliament being asked his position. So this is the advancement that we've seen over the last couple of years, thanks to the ANC of New Zealand, and I'm looking forward to that just continuing. New Zealand has a very proud record on human rights. they don't usually wait for the rest of the world to deal with things like environmental issues, issues of indigenous rights, etc. So I'm hopeful that New Zealand's not just going to follow Australia on this or follow anybody else. I hope that every country, using their own sovereignty, will make the right decision after assessing all of the issues at hand. And at the end of the day, you know, this is the currency of truth at play for the Armenian cause. And when everything is assessed by good, well-meaning people, the right decisions will be arrived at.
Hi, could you talk about the Joint Justice Initiative's Memorandum of Understanding ANCA signed?
Sure. We believe this is a significant next step in our advocacy for Armenian genocide recognition by Australia. That is also a view shared by the other communities who have descendants of survivors of the same genocides. I mean, the Ottoman government committed a systematic attempt to wipe off not just the Armenians of the Ottoman Empire, but also the Greeks and the Assyrians. And these three communities, the Armenian Australian, Assyrian Australian, and Greek Australian communities, have often worked together on these issues. For example, the South Australian recognition was worked on by the three communities, and it was a recognition of the three genocides. New South Wales' second recognition in 2013 also was worked on by the three communities. So there have been some sporadic attempts at working together, and they've been successful, but they've been for short periods. The Joint Justice Initiative and the Memorandum of Understanding that we signed is a long-term commitment and a collaboration that we have managed to announce to the highest corridors of power in this country. So the Joint Justice Initiative was a memorandum of understanding between the three communities' advocacy arms, so the ANC, as far as Armenian Australians are concerned, the Assyrian Universal Alliance on behalf of the Assyrians, and the Australian Hellenic Council on behalf of the Hellenic, the Greek community, all went to Canberra. They held an event in one of the most obvious venues that you just can't pass. It was in one of the major lobbies of Parliament. And during that event, we had an attendance of over 100 people. And among those 100 people were very high-level people from the government and led by, for example, Communications Minister Paul Fletcher, and also very high-level members of the opposition, led by none other than Anthony Albanese, the leader of the Labor Party in the opposition, people like Christina Keneally from that party and Tanya Plibersek on the other side, and Joel Fitzgibbon, sorry. And then on the other side, we had people like, you know, Trent Zimmerman, Tim Wilson, John Alexander, and a lot of others that were also attending from the government side of politics. We had Greens members there and other crossbenchers as well. And at that event, they witnessed the signing of this Memorandum of Understanding, which essentially said one thing, that for these three communities, the recognition of the genocides by the Australian government is now a priority. It is the priority. Of course, we all have our own issues. You know, the Greek community also deals with issues like Macedonia. You know, the Cypriot Hellenes have other issues that they have to deal with. The Assyrian community fighting for a homeland, you know, which is a just fight, and also fighting against current injustices that are occurring against their people in the Middle East. Armenians deal on Artsakh. We deal on a lot of other issues around that as well. Nakhichevan, Dzhavakh, and other issues like that. However, what these three communities have said is America's now done it with their two parliaments, the Congress and the House and the Senate. What we want is for our government to take the right step as well. And we're calling on the government to do it as three communities as part of this Joint Justice Initiative. So the Joint Justice Initiative, the Memorandum of Understanding, the launch, the venue, the people that were present, I think it was loud and clear in terms of what our intentions were. There is an actionable item as well from the Joint Justice Initiative, which is essentially a document that we are asking MPs to sign to declare their individual positioning on Australia's recognition of the genocides. So if you're Joe Blow and you're the member for whatever, What we're asking you is, if it was up to you, would Australia recognise the genocide? And if they think that the answer to that should be yes, we're asking them to join the Joint Justice Initiative by signing a document, a pledge document, an acknowledgement of support. And we're collecting those documents as the Joint Justice Initiative with the goal of expressing to our communities that these are the leaders of the country who are with us on this issue and are willing to stake their name to the fact that they're with us on this issue. We believe that this is a very important next step. It's more than just a launch and an announcement. It's now an activity of advocacy that we need to implement as three organisations, as three communities, to make sure that we get as many signatures as possible to make the government's position on this issue more untenable. At the end of the day, Australia's position should reflect that of its community. And these are the MPs, the senators that are elected by the constituents, not the government of Turkey, who is currently holding the cards in terms of Australia's position on this issue.
Hi, just before you left for New Zealand, the Cypriot Australian community joined the Armenian, Greek and Assyrian communities rejecting the proposed visit of Turkish President to Australia. I presume the pandemic stopped this visit?
Look, we're not sure. The issue was with, I would also presume that Erdogan wouldn't be interested in coming to Australia and then being quarantined for 14 days. Before he can make any public appearances. But the issue is that, pandemic aside, we were seeking a clear rejection of a proposed visit by Erdogan from the Australian government. This guy has offended Australia deeply over the last 12 months. And on top of that, he runs a black and white autocracy. The idea that we need a dictator of a country that he is turning into an Islamic state, and also one that gives free access to ISIS and also protects ISIS interests, a platform in Australia, for whatever reason, we thought was preposterous. Now, what we were seeking was the rejection of this, or at least a confirmation or something from the Australian government to tell us that the visit is happening or it's not happening. There is an invitation or there isn't an invitation. And until they gave us a rejection or confirmation, all we had to go by was what was once reported on SBS, which was that there was going to be a visit by this man. So we said that we reject the idea of this sort of a visit, and we would like the Australian government to also do the same. And we announced that as a Joint Justice Initiative, the Armenian, Assyrian and Greek community leadership, and more recently, as you rightly pointed out, the Cypriot community of Australia, who are currently under occupation by Erdogan's Turkey, also joined the calls. And by the way, there are a lot of others that want to join the calls too. They've been contacting us. This man is not really welcome in Australia. So, you know, we'll see where it all ends up. But I would hate to think that it was only the pandemic that stopped Erdogan from visiting Australia.
Hike, thanks for the interview. As usual, it's the first of a series of interviews we'll do during the year.
Thank you, Vahe. Appreciate it. And everybody take care.
We heard an interview with Armenian National Committee of Australia's Executive Director, Hai Kayserian.
Կուզես լսել նման պատմություններ, կընտրե Apple Podcast-ի, Google Podcast-ի, Spotify-ի վրա, կամ որտեղ որ podcast-ը կլսես.